Tribe Nation, on today's show, I've got my son here with me. Aubrey, could you, are you on the mic there? Can people hear you?
Yep.
That's my son, Aubrey. I got my son here, and Aubrey is 16 years old, and he has never grown up in a non-politically correct world. Now, when I grew up, I would watch great shows like The Roseanne Show, and she would say things that were true, that would resonate, and you'd watch and go, that is so true. Now, people have to watch dystopian shows based upon the world that we don't live in, where every joke is politically correct, and therefore it's not funny. And so I am super honored and excited for America to experience what I grew up with, which is actual non-politically correct humor at the Real in America Tour as Roseanne and Jim Brewer join us. So, Roseanne, welcome on to the Thrive Time Show. How are you?
I'm great. I'm trying to change my earring here, but I'm having trouble. But thank you for your nice words, and your son is cute.
Now, Roseanne, can you share, and I would love to have you and Mel share with my son what it was like. I'll start with you, Roseanne. What was it like to be in a world where there was non-politically correct humor? Can you just share with his mind here so he can hear this?
Well, there was always a lot of censorship. It's not all that different, really, but it was they had certain subjects that you were not allowed to talk about. And of course, now that's what everybody's forced to talk about. You know, when I was on TV, you weren't, we weren't supposed to get political or talk about things like gender or, racism, or we weren't supposed to talk about any of that. We were supposed to just, be more everyday people kind of thing, everyday working people kind of thing. But they didn't even want that, actually. But I just think it's tightened up a little. But it was always an oppressive place to create anything, that if you wanted it to lift people up instead of slam them down, then you always had trouble.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up some clips, okay? And I'm not trying to paint Roseanne into a corner. You know Roseanne very well. You guys are good friends, okay? So you can always do a timeout if you need to. But I'm going to play the clip here, and I want to get Roseanne's take on this, because, Roseanne, you're not supposed to talk about these things, but this man, you've all know Harari. This is all he talks about is these things. So we're not supposed to talk about it, but this is what he has to say here. Here we go, folks.
If something does not cause harm, then it's okay.
Oh.
If you take something like, homosexuality, so you had for centuries people saying that this is a sin. Why? Because the Bible forbids it, or because God forbids it. And then you had humanists coming and asking, well, it doesn't matter what some book says. We want to know who is harmed by it. If two men love each other and they feel good about it and their love doesn't harm anybody, why should this be a sin? And from this perspective, humanism comes and says, no, it's not a sin. It's perfectly okay. The yardstick is always human feelings. Of course, there are complicated cases. What happens if, I steal your car and I feel good about it and you feel bad about it? So we need to weigh different feelings one against the other. And so you have a lot of complicated ethical debates in humanism, but the arguments on both sides are always in terms of human feelings, not in terms of some outside force like a God that comes and tells you, irrespective of human feelings, what is good and what is bad. So this is kind of humanism in very briefly.
Roseanne, how do you even process what he's saying right there? I just would love to get your thoughts on that.
I process it like this. Blah, 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 BS, BS, blah.
Mel, what say you? I mean, this guy's given the mic, MIT, Stanford, Harvard, World Economic Forum. They praise this guy. They call him the prophet. What are your thoughts on what he says?
Well, Harari and his ilk, they want to rewrite the Bible with AI, and they want a one world religion. And he walks around and says that, that the whole concept of God is made up, and that really humans are God. And, this is what him and his ilk, he's the prophet of some very bad people who've been working on this for decades. And they're big transhumanists, they're big eugenicists, and he wants everyone to realize that the people that he works with and for are now essentially God. And any God that you're reading about, especially any Bible or book, as he always says, some written book, is a total fraud. That is his opinion. And that's why we call him Luciferian, because his pride and his desire to be God is also his downfall and what makes him so terrible.
Well, he's got that thing that, you know, the Bible does say if you're studying, if you study deep Judaism, which is like you take a, I mean, people take a one verse and discuss it and break it down and look at it and do the do the numbers on each Hebrew letter to, you know, get a deeper meaning and a deeper connection to God. But it does tell us that, the arrogant are always ignorant and that they will undo themselves, and we don't need to get any of their karma on us. All we have to do is witness them, because they always undo themselves. And so his blah, 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 I feel like is he's got a lot of holes in it and he's undoing himself as he speaks, because he's saying it's about human feelings. Well, no, it isn't. It's not about human feelings. It's about your group's feelings. That's what it's about. It's not about any human or, you know, it's not about human soul or the human community or the feelings of anybody, you know, that they consider to be prey, those type of people. Right. But the arrogance is always accompanied with ignorance. I just really want to say that. And also it has a sneer on its face. And he does have that really arrogant little wormy looking sneer. And so I don't need to hear anything he says. I just look at him and I know he thinks he's smarter than God, and they all do. But, you know, they're in for a... I'm not going to swear on this show, but if I was on stage, I would. But he's in for a big, big surprise. And I don't think it's going to be too long before he gets it. And it's going to be like, wow, your stuff is so anti-human. So, you know, like Nazi scientist MK Ultra, we can sew twins together and see, you know, how our genius, you know, affects their DNA. And then when we're done using them, you know, we'll just put them in the oven. It's all of that. Everything he says is full of, you know, hidden fascist Nazi eugenics. And he'll get his, believe me, he will, because he brings it to himself with his own mouth, which he then goes on to try to justify the fact that he's like, uh-oh, people might have heard me what I'm really saying. So instead, I'm going to justify it with all this BS I learned in a, you know, godforsaken university here.
Totally.
Now, Aubrey, do you like meat?
Yeah.
What's your favorite kind of meat in your 16-year-old mind here? What's your favorite kind of meat?
I like beef, like a hamburger.
Okay, fair. And so this guy, Yuval, again, I bring him up because, like, you know, he's the person who's sort of setting this narrative, and they call him the prophet, and he's doing this whole anti-meat narrative, and he wants it to come to you right now. So just this week, on June 22nd, 2023, we now have approval from the USDA to begin selling non-animal grown meat that wasn't produced by an animal. Listen to this, folks. It's pretty wild here. Here we go.
Lab-grown meat could be served on a menu near you soon. The Agriculture Department just approved two California companies to sell chicken grown in steel tanks using cells that come from an animal, egg, or a special bank of stored cells. It will first be available at restaurants in San Francisco and Washington, D.C., all before hitting stores. I don't know how I feel about this one, you guys.
It might be served on a menu near me, but it won't be served on a menu to me.
Yeah.
what do the kids say these days? Hard pass?
Hard pass. There you go, Paul.
Yeah, no.
Meat is one of the biggest sources of air pollution and water pollution around the world. Now, if you tell these people, no, you can't eat meat because it ruins the environment, they won't accept. But there is new technologies that you can produce meat just by growing it in cells. It's called cultured meat or clean meat.
Oh.
And it is much more ecological. It's also much more ethical. Because you don't, if you want a hamburger, you don't need to raise a cow and then kill the cow to have an hamburger. You just grow the hamburger. It's much more ethical. It's much more ecological. This is the technological middle path.
This is the only practical solution. Yes. For the problem of the suffering of domesticated animals is cultured meat.
Okay, Roseanne, the guy's anti-meat here. I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I have way too many thoughts because I'm like, where are they getting the stuff to grow themselves? We all know if we get really dark about it. I have my suspicions and, you know, they're kind of tested out, you know, but I'm not going to say because we don't want to get shut down. But I wonder where they're getting themselves they're growing into meat. And I would suggest everybody really do a lot of research about that because it's not good. It's not good to be a cannibal.
Did you say it's not good to be a cannibal?
No, it isn't. That's not a good thing. God doesn't want us to eat each other.
No.
I should tell you of all that. Hey, I'm hip to all the crap you're saying, dude. And I'll tell you what, you might not believe in a God, but he believes in you. And because he created you, and you're not going to get away with the crap you're trying to shove down everybody's throats, telling them to eat crickets and bugs. I bet you ain't going to eat none of that meat. You're going to be having lobster right. and all that other crap with your friends. Lobster, steak. He probably eats a ton of pork. You know, I don't know. I don't even think we should dignify anything that he or anybody from that group of, I guess they're human, but I'm not really sure. I think they're more like holographic projections of our worst nightmares that turn into a human form. But I don't think we should be giving them the time of day. They're everything that we are supposed to be against. Everything they say is BS. Everything they say is based on a system of slavery,
right,
and inhumanity and cruelty. And so I don't even know if we should be giving him the time of day except for to say, you know, we should all just pray for his soul if he has one. And I'm not sure he does.
Yeah.
Now, Tyrese is somebody that, Mel, I mean, you and Roseanne come from the same world. So I was a former disc jockey. That's what I did. You know, so I played Tyrese songs from time to time. I've seen him in movies, that kind of thing. But he, I think, is speaking from the heart, saying something that I don't think that maybe his handlers or agents thought he would say. He went on an interview May 8th, 2023 to promote the new movie he's in, the new film there, the new Fast and Furious. And Aubrey, do you know who this guy is, Tyrese?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. Here we go. So this is Tyrese. Listen to what he says here. This is what he says.
God will send you all of the desires of your heart. And that is something that I want everybody who can hear this interview to know. As much as I'm supposed to be promoting this movie and talking about my album, I just feel like we're in competition right now because they are trying to normalize the devil. They are trying to populate. The devil is on the main stage at award shows and in every video and signs and symbols. And I said, you know what? We need to stop treating our relationship with Jesus like the little buddy that you talk to before you go to bed at night and not be more vocal about all the things that God means to us and all of the things that God has brought us through. Because there's been a lot of moments that you didn't post about.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you know, how did God decide to get me through this?
Yeah, man.
And yeah, they going above and beyond to promote the devil. And it's pissing me off.
Mm-hmm.
Because the devil worshipers used to be real secretive, going down in the basement, this secret man. World. Now they just
now like, they on the device too. Yeah, believe that. Yeah. I do want to come back and I want to talk to you about Fast 10 as well.
He really wanted to wrap up that conversation quickly. Now, meanwhile, Madonna's at the Grammys.
Excuse me. Great pleasure to introduce two incredibly talented artists who have risen above the noise, the doubt, the critics, into something beautifully unholy.
I want for Christmas is quant.
Okay, so you're just, I mean, it's just in your face now. You know, you're seeing again Sam Smith tweet out before his satanic performance, this is going to be special. And I think, Roseanne, it's now in our face. And you came, Roseanne, from Hollywood, from the highest, you know, you had the highest rated show in America, most viewed show. Everybody knew your name. You were a household name. You are a household name. Mel, you worked around this world of people all the time. So I want to start with you, Roseanne, then I'll go to Mel on this. How are there real Satanists in Hollywood? Is this a real thing? Is this a real thing? Or is it just sort of art as they want us to believe?
You got to be kidding me that you're asking that question.
I'm
you
asking,
know the answer. You know the answer. Yeah. Let's not even pretend. Yeah, it's full of them, just like Tyrese said. I interviewed Tyrese on when I had a, you know, way back in the day. There are some people who are not blind and not full of fear because they do have an inner strength that's connected to source. And so they're finding more and more bravery in speaking out. And he's one of them. And I'm proud of him. You know, I think you suffer more when you're silent and you just go along. Well, definitely your soul suffers. And, you know, but the braver you get and the more you speak out, what he's right about, you know, speak out against evil and, you know, the worst thing, the devil, the stuff that, you know, Satanists consider to be holy. I mean, you got to speak out about it because they are preying on all of us. They're preying on all the kids. They're preying on our country. They're preying on every human being who has a soul. This is the war. So I don't think we should pretend like, oh, maybe it's happening. Because everybody who has a soul, they know it's happening. It's happening in your sleep. It's happening in your thoughts. You're bombarded with all these thoughts that the media puts out. You have to learn to put up that screen door and keep them out. And people have not been apprised as to how to do that because of Hollywood, because it instead uses mind control to make people open to the worst and the lemming programming. So this is all a whole reversal of everything we should be talking about and feeling and sharing with each other right now. If we're gonna survive this, I think we are, but the more the merrier, you know.
Yeah, Roseanne, I maybe a bit better question I should have asked you is, I live in Oklahoma, my son and I, he has a landscaping business. Aubrey, tell Roseanne the name of your landscaping business here.
WD Lawn Care.
And you spend your day mowing lawns?
Yeah.
What else do you do?
DJing and like sound and lighting production.
Yeah, and we've got, you know, five kids, and we don't go to Hollywood, and we don't hang around weird satanic people. And then you hear about this, and it's almost so far beyond the boundaries of what we would allow to be.
Did you ever see that movie, They Live?
No.
Oh, it was a John Carpenter movie. Please watch that, because it has, like, he had to put on these special glasses, and these people that looked human, when he put on these glasses, he could see their skulls, and that they were ghouls. And that's what it's like. You don't notice it at first, but pretty soon you will start noticing it. Unless you have a lot of discretion, which I do because I was there for so long. And that's why I did leave about 16, 17 years ago. But once you have the discretion, you know what to look for. You know what the things they say and the way they say it and the way they look and the way they twist a phrase and a word. Then you know that's time to retreat. To retreat and run for your life. They don't got nothing you want.
Mel, you were in that world. How did you not lose your soul while working on a lot of big projects with big names behind the scenes who put the big movies on the big screens?
Well, Roseanne and I always laugh about, for some reason, they never invited us to the really sick, twisted stuff. So, you know, they kind of knew that we would be the ones that would blow the whistle. I got close enough, and that I know. What I do know, though, for sure.
Mel, can I say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
One time I was really depressed, and I said, how come they never invite me? And this girl that I liked a lot, we were drinking, and she got loose-tongued with me, and she said, because they're afraid. She always went to the parties, you know. Right. She goes, everybody's kind of afraid that you'll tell.
Right. Yeah. I know. I had the thing where I knew that people, I believe that now we're going to Epstein Island and they would fly away. And I'd be like, why doesn't anyone ever invite me? And the main person that was the most powerful, successful one of that group would be like, don't worry, Mel, we'll go up to the spa, you know, to ourselves on a girls' week. And I'd be like, I want to go with that. I want to go on the private plane to the island they're going to. Thank God I didn't. As you know, Roseanne, we both have talked about, thank God. You know, we both have also seen though, like the witches' covens and what they think they are and the spell. But I gotta be honest, something I realized recently, because I was looking up the seven deadly sins, because I feel like that's what they want to replace.
I was looking that up yesterday. That's crazy.
The same. We think like, but I'll tell you, pride is apparently the worst of all of them, and has a lot to do with Lucifer and all of that. But there's something else going on here. These guys are trying to, for me, I believe it's a humiliation ritual of sorts, pushing us to accept, to keep pushing the envelope. How much can they humiliate us, to humiliate ourselves, to lower ourselves? Because they know, this is like last time we talked about how Jim Brewer was saying with me, he was saying, those guys that are men that put on these little skimpy outfits and go and dance in front of little kids, they know it's wrong in their mind. They know, but we're acting like it isn't wrong, or the people around them, they're kind of making you bow to what is unholy, to what is ugly, to what is evil. And that is a ritual of some sort. Like I heard about them that would go on in Hollywood. A lot of it, these crazy ritualistic parties. Now we hear that Hunter Biden was kicked out of Sanctum, for God's sakes. But you wonder what was going on. No, you don't have to wonder. It's all, what's a lot of it's Sanctum? About. I can speak
to that for a minute, because when I came to television, I came to television as a comedian purposely, because it made me sick since I was a little girl to watch the crap that they expected families, and specifically young children, to swallow. And it wasn't true. It was just a whitewashing, brain dead, dumbing down thing. And I came to television because I wanted to show the American people, the working class people and other people, I wanted to show the soul of people, and you know how magnificent they are, how heroic, you know, how no matter what they go through, they still cling to spirit and love for each other, no matter what. And do you know, I could go into 3 hours of how they tried to beat that out of me.
Yep.
They would have lawyers, you know, around me on the set just going, well, you know, people are not going to like this. And I go, do you think that the people like that you make them look stupid? You think that that's what they want? They don't. And I have this fight every day. I go, I'm here to uplift, not degrade. And I had that fight every single day of my career. And to say that, you know, that are there Satanists? Hell, are there not any? That's what I would say.
Well, okay, let me ask this, Roseanne, let me ask this. So Aubrey, you and I were talking the other day, we were driving. And, you know, there's a new thing that MIT developed, this thing called quantum dots, which stores your medical and financial records under your skin. We look it up, MIT quantum dot. MIT also developed these CBDCs, the central bank digital currency technology. This MIT technology was funded by Jeffrey Epstein and Gates. Epstein, who had a tip on his island.
It all is. Funded by Epstein, isn't it, Mel?
Yep.
The whole world was run by this guy, and he's trying to make babies. I don't know how many babies he created.
Don't know.
You know, the regular physical way.
But how you told me you went to see a movie and they were talking about, because the quantum, it's called Quant Dot Network, is the backbone of the new CBDC system. Aubrey, tell me about the movie you're watching and the quantum thing.
I forget which movie it was. I think it was a month ago at this point. But remember, they were talking about quantum dot, and it was like, kind of around what the, like they're trying to like beat around the bush, kind of like say it but not exactly.
So, was it a super, was it like a super, like a Marvel movie or something?
Yeah, it's like a Marvel movie, and it was like you'd only recognize it if you knew what that was.
And you keep telling me, you're like, Dad, there was deep state in that thing. Deep state. Well, how often do you see deep state in music and movies?
Always.
Always.
How often do you not see it?
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Let me pull this up here. This is a Jim Caviezel who, way to go, Jim. Jim is sitting down here with Steve Bannon, and he, for about 2 minutes here, he just continues to drop knowledge bombs. And again, a lot of people refuse to believe that this stuff could even happen. And Jim's just looking him right in the eye. Watch what he says here, folks. This is pretty wild here.
For labor, for slave labor, or is it
adrenochrome? The whole adrenochrome empire. That this is a big deal. That it is listed under the NIH. It is a chemical compound. It's a molecular structure. Is C9H9NO3. It is it's an elite drug that they've used for many years. It's 10 times more potent than heroin, and it has some mystical qualities as far as making you look younger. There's
that scene in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas that nobody could figure out.
No, it's, I saw that. Why does MS-13 have most advanced guns? You know, why do we Sinaloan gangs have all, how come 110,000 people died or disappeared in Mexico City? Where did they go? And they're starting pulling people out of body bags now.
And he says these things, and then you can look it up. You just type in adrenochrome NIH. It's on the NIH website. It's right there. He says it. He actually names the chemical compound.
Hey, look at that right there, the chemical breakdown of it, the picture. That's where they get, that's where Anons have been calling it the white rabbit for about 20 years. This is known. Everybody knows. See how it looks like a white rabbit?
Yeah. And right here, and I want people to see this real quick, because what you just said is, I want people to see this connection. So right before the Great Reset began, Elon Musk's lady friend at the time, she puts out a song called Appreciate Power. Her name is Grimes. And so I'll suffer through this commercial because I'm currently banned off of YouTube again. But so Grimes is, she puts out this video called We Appreciate Power that prophesies COVID-19. It explains to you that it's going to happen. And here it is. And this song was put out on her album before the Great Reset. Okay. This is November 28th of 2018. And it starts off with, he's holding a white rabbit.
Oh, there you go.
And she's connected to this hive mind. And then the whole song, the lyrics, I want people to see this. I mean, this is how sick these people are. So you type in We Appreciate Power lyrics and you read the lyrics. And it says here, we appreciate power. What will it take to make you capitulate? We appreciate power. Elevate the human race. Putting makeup on my face. We appreciate power. And then it goes on to say, people like to say that we're insane, but AI will reward us when it rains. Pledge allegiance to the world's most powerful supercomputer. Simulation is the future. What will it take to make you capitulate? We appreciate power. And it says, if you long to never die, plug in, upload your mind. Come on, you're not even alive unless you're backed up on a drive. And then it says, what will it take to make you capitulate? We appreciate power. Elevate the human race. It goes on and it says, Neanderthal to human being, evolution, kill the gene. Biology is superficial. Intelligence is artificial. And it goes on saying submit over and over and over. And again, this whole white rabbit thing, Roseanne, I just don't think people.
The words to that song are the absolute truth of the way they believe.
Yeah.
So Mel Gibson, he's trying to articulate this years ago. And I want people to, this is how I feel right now. I feel like I'm what he's saying is how I feel about the whole thing. So let me hit play here. This is.
When I came over here, I was, I was in my mid-20s.
Right.
The first time I really came over here. You know, I had a whole bunch of weird paranoid suspicions about what the hell was going on because there was a lot of stuff I couldn't understand.
Right.
And nobody was really bothering to explain it to me.
They don't.
And and I formed a bunch of opinions about the town and about the people in it. That were like, surely that couldn't be, because a whole place can't be like, you know, weird town, you know, where the stranger wanders in and all the people are in the bar and they all shut up when he looks at them and they tell you don't go out of the house on the hill. And it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go away and you think, no, I was wrong. I mean, that's insane thinking. I'm paranoid. I imagined that stuff. That couldn't be the reason for why so-and-so was acting like, could it? Mm. And then you find out later on the track that you are exactly on track with a lot of this stuff, not specifically on track, but that you could, that some of your worst nightmares were real at the time. And you think, it does rip your life to pieces.
Is it?
If you'll let it.
Yeah.
And it's always pounding at the walls. It's these little guys, these little heathens with no soul downstairs with horns on their head with a battering ram trying to like beat your walls in.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take very long before you realize, or before it gets to you, it's cascading on you all the time. You can't get away from certain attitudes, from certain modes of behavior that this town and the industry dictate. And no matter how strong you are, when you come in off the farm with those convictions and those and a certain line of attack, no matter how strong you are going to be affected by this place.
No,
it's going to divert you from where you were going.
Sure.
Roseanne, I think a lot of people it's bombarding our kids, it's bombarding our families, it's bombarding every commercial, every professional sport, every movie. Unless you're ever hearing a comedian like yourself or Jim Brewer, I mean, it's just constant, nonstop, satanic overtones. I just love to get your thoughts.
Me and Mel Gibson got together. We had a big meeting at one time just a couple years back, and maybe it was like 5 years ago. It was like maybe 2013, maybe a long time, but we talked about all this together, and it was such a relief for me to be able to speak with him, because it was like, okay, I'm over the gaslighting, because this guy knows exactly what I'm talking about. And we shared a whole bunch of stories together, and it was very healing that, you know, I could talk to somebody else who was seeing it as broadly as I was, because, you know, I came as I came out of a very religious background. And so I was always shocked. And I also want to say a thank you to Mel Gibson, because I did a Hanukkah play at my synagogue, you know, and he let me use the movie Braveheart as the background for the kids. So I dressed them up like Braveheart when they were the Maccabees and all that, getting rid of, you know, the people that were the bad guys. And he did that for just as a gift to me. He's always been so kind. And he's just, he knows and he saw it. But if you don't have the eyes to see it, like I was saying before, if you don't have the discretion or the soul to see it, you won't see it.
I think Mel, I want to go to your on here on this. Think as a parent, you know, I'm a parent, got five kids, great kids. I wanted you to see my son so you know he's a real human. And you know, I'm serious.
I wanted to ask him, how much is he getting for cutting a lawn? Because I used to get $2 for doing it in my day.
Well, he's going nonstop mowing. He's off to mow another lawn. I wanted you just to, because I, you know, we're raising kids, and I'm going, did you guys see the satanic seance at the Taylor Swift concert? And they're like, what? And I'm going, guys, the lyrics, are you seeing these? And I'm trying to shield them from the satanic attacks, and I feel like it is everywhere, nonstop, Mel. I'd love to get your thoughts.
I mean, also the queen, they call her the queen, Beyonce, has a new tour, which everyone should go take a look at if you're looking for any kind of symbolism and satanic attacks. But what I want to say also, Mel Gibson and Roseanne are very different kinds of people. These were the most famous people in the world, but they also are very humble, both of these people. And that is a problem. They couldn't get, and you know, Donald Trump has this too a little. They couldn't get to Roseanne or Mel Gibson, because Roseanne and Mel Gibson and even Trump, they know who they are. You have to be able to be manipulated. You have to, and like I've explained to you on the show, Clay, a couple times, for the people at the very, at that A level that Roseanne and Mel Gibson were at, a lot of them are compromised, and not just compromised, they allow themselves to be compromised. They have a team of 10 people around them that control, that all make money off of them. So everyone surrounding them, and including their family a lot, become predators. And the predators then attack all aspects of their lives. These people are like flies in the middle of a spider web. So by the time, you know, they're the age Taylor Swift is now, or Demi Lovato is now, or Beyonce is now. They've been in the middle of this spider web for so long that they don't do anything but because they are inspired by the genius within. The genius within them has been captured. And yes, and that's why
occupied.
Yeah. And that's why Mel Gibson and Roseanne right now, in this period of biblical timing right now, God is doing a lot of work, and I'm seeing it in real time. And that's why people that they've tried to shut up and destroy and cancel, both of Roseanne and Mel Gibson, over and over, just keep coming back stronger. And right now is a time where a lot of these people, including Jim, that Roseanne and I both know him, and Brewer, and all these people are going to be the ones left. Because I'm telling you right now, Roseanne knows this, you might not. Something is going on in Hollywood that right now there happens to be a writer's strike. Next week, there's going to be an actor's strike. So you were telling me that there's not something at play that is shutting down that town from the inside out. And I hear the CCP is taking all their money. And if you want to make a movie with CCP money, you got to go to China to make it. So that place is going to burn. And then the only people that survive are the ones that actually are using God's gifts and not the opposite, in my opinion.
Yeah, Roseanne, I want to play this little clip.
I love hearing that. Thank you for saying that, Mel.
True.
I want to play this little clip here because, again, I go back to it. I'm going, you know, I'm a dad trying to raise kids. I know a lot of our listeners are trying to raise kids. And, you know, my daughter grew up listening to the Taylor Swift songs, you know, and then this is what Taylor's doing at her concerts now.
Do you guys hear Coach throwing my ball?
Oh,
that. I'm not touching it. You have no idea. Did you hear that? Are they able to hear that? I didn't play that. So that means that.
Yeah, it totally seems haunted. It all went down night three of Tay's Eras Tour in Foxborough, right, Massachusetts. At one point, her piano started playing on its own.
Oh, right.
Recent concert, Swift is performing witchcraft. And I know this is going to raise some controversy in the comments, but this just doesn't look right to me.
We are staying
on. Oh, yeah, that's...
is there any question? I mean... why are we questioning if this is satanic or not?
Well, I know people that are, I know people in Kansas City that are going to see her at Arrowhead, and they go, I just watched the show you put out about Taylor Swift.
For Swifties, seeing Taylor Swift live.
And they go, is she really pushing the satanic? And so I try to show them all these examples. You know, I hit play, and I try to show all these examples, and people are like, but isn't that just art? I mean, is that really happening? And I just love to get your thoughts on this. I mean, if a kid's going to go see a movie this weekend, Roseanne, if a kid's going to go see a movie, mom and dad are going to watch a movie with a kid, what percentage of the movies do you think are just satanically inspired?
100%.
Oh, that's a high number.
Not a good number.
Except for, what's it? I love those movies. Oh, I can't think of his name. What's his damn name? Blank.
Okay, it'll come back to you.
Yeah, I mean, also, you got to understand, and Roseanne knows this too. I was talking last night with somebody.
John Wick.
Oh, John Wick. That's because Keanu Reeves walked away from the Satanists a long time ago and took over.
Yeah, but I feel like John Wick is fighting the Satanists. That's why I love watching those movies.
Yeah.
He's fighting all them demons, and he's just like this flick, which I think is so cool.
Yeah.
Even though it's bloody and all that.
Yeah, but I think he too. He's like you and Mel. He saw what he saw, and he decided to go the other way. He produces his own stuff. He writes it. I mean, he pulls everyone in. He doesn't work in the system anymore. If he has to, he will, but he doesn't. And that's strong. And like I said, he's going to be one, I believe, that survives this. But I was talking last night at dinner with people, and they were saying that they hadn't seen a movie in 5 years that they even remotely liked or didn't think was trying to propagandize them or beat them over the head. It's been going on for a lot longer than that. But I was telling him last night that in the early 2000s, before people thought about it, that was really when BLM, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, a lot of this Marxism came into Hollywood. And you would go into a pitch with a script and they would be like, can you do this or do that? And you'd be like, but that has nothing to do with what we're doing. So this whole kind of thing started 20 years ago in Hollywood. It just took till now for everyone to see it. But Roseanne and I saw the control of the narrative shifting, and this kind of overt Satanism, overt manipulation became very covert became very overt. And wow. It took about 20 years to get to a
point. Yeah, it's called groomed.
Right.
And you know, when you look at like the people who do the things, the make the movies and stuff, they're always the son or daughter of somebody who made movies before them. It's a family business and they pass it down, you know, I say through Rico, but you know, cause so much of Hollywood is organized crime, but you know, it's like when I used to be a socialist, you know, way back when I ran for president in 2012 as a socialist, because I was starting to be awake then and I wanted to see for myself what was going on. But anyway, they had that Occupy Wall Street going on. And I remember I went there the first day. I was the first person because I thought it was great that somebody was going to stand up to the Federal Reserve, which I thought that's what Occupy Wall Street was about. Well, little did I know that is not what it was about at all. And I had big fights with those people for a long time. But as I looked at them, I was like, oh my God, these are the kids, the privileged children of those people in the buildings. And it just was very clear to me that they are rebelling against the privilege that their parents have allowed them. It isn't a real revolution. It doesn't come from the grassroots up as all revolutions do. It comes from the privileged. And these people who are making these movies, they don't care. They'll do a movie about, you know, child porn because they think it makes money. That's why they don't care about any of that on Instagram or Facebook or any of these places. They don't care that they're fixing up pedos with victims. It makes money. So what? You know, that's what happens in the world. That's what's so evil. It is the banality of evil, isn't it, Mel?
Yes, it is. It always is. And you know, they did. It's not just that they don't care. They also have signed off on this thing. And, you know, somebody said the other day, well, these American companies, they're not American companies. OK, they're not. They gave up on America. They're the end of America companies. And you know, a lot of this has to do with like this. I've told you to Clay, but I talk about it a lot. That World Economic Forum, Hydra, the globalist fraud that is globalism. You know, they taught us they took our compassion and our empathy and our desire to help the poor and all that and used it against us to convince us to all join this globalism, sustainable development BS. They don't mean sustainable. They mean controllable. They mean predetermined. They mean easily managed. And they're talking about easily managing us. And that starts with our brains and it starts with entertainment. And like you've played the clip many times of Harari saying, well, we don't know what we're going to do with all of them, us. And that it's going to be game.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do with him. But I should save it for, you know.
No, tell us.
A freedom of speech network or platform.
Oh, we have one here. This
Okay, good. What we're going to do with him is we're just going to witness what being on the side of evil does to a person in the time of the Great Awakening, where everybody wakes up and reconnects to source and cuts through the brainwashing. When that happens, he'll just fly away like all the other dust.
Roseanne, I want to share with you something real quick here. These, you know, you are used to being, you're like one of the first people canceled. So for you, this is probably not a
show. I was the.
Okay, you were the. But I just want to point this out for people out there that are kind of newer to the cancel culture. Mel,
welcome.
Well, Mel, you're not new to this either. But, you know, when we were taking the Reawaken America tour to Las Vegas, the Trump family says, absolutely, we'll make it work. You can stay at our hotel. We'll make it work. We'll give you great discounts on the hotels. And they did that. But we have about 5,000 people we have at every event. And so I thought, Mel, I'll call the casinos. I'll call the hotels. I'll call the churches. And all of them have said the new line they say is we can't allow you to host your event at our facility because of the reputational risk. That's the phrase, reputation.
Oh, wow.
risk. And so what we had to do is we had to rent this facility. I'm just showing you a picture of it. It's about a $600,000 structure we had to put up here. And then we're going to air condition this thing. And so that way we're going to be at the Craig Ranch physically. That's where we're going to be, which is 7 miles north of the Trump International. But then we're going to air condition this thing. So when you go inside it, it's going to feel very much like a first class state of the art venue. So some people ask me, did you lose your mind? Or is there a reason why you're erecting a tent and then air conditioning it? Why aren't you renting a venue? Well, it's because these places don't, and Mel, you've seen this in almost every city we've gone to. They don't want to see, the people want to see, but the people in charge, they don't want to see Roseanne and Jim Brewer and Eric Trump and Cash Patel and Sean Foyt and Mel Kay and Dr. Stella Emanuel and Peter McCullough. They don't want to see that, but this is how it's going to look. And I'm super fired up for people to see you. Do we have any idea, Roseanne, what your comedy routine will be about in Las Vegas? Do we have any idea, a little sneak peek? Are you still formulating the routine? Because I've seen some of your recent work, and I think you're getting progressively more funny over time. Do you have any idea of what you're going to be covering there, my friend?
Yeah, I'm going to be cutting loose. Because it's really great to think that people will, I don't have to explain to them or go lightly with them about, you know, the devil, the war we're in between God and the devil, between good and evil. I don't have to preface everything to get to the joke. I'm just going right for it. And it's the funniest stuff on earth because these people really are stupid. They're really stupid, and they think that they think we're as stupid or even more stupid than them, and we're not.
Amen to that. And by the way, folks, for our events, I think most people know that by now, but you can name your price. And so if you want to see Roseanne, you want to see Alex Jones, you want to see Jimmy Levy, you want to see Cash Patel, Laura Trump, Peter Navarro, Roger Stone, Trump's entire inner circle, they're all going to be there. And again, you can name your price. So you just go to timetofreeamerica.com, you request a ticket. And right now, as of right now at this broadcast, we have just under 800 tickets remaining for these events. And every event ends up being standing room only. It's packed. It's one of these things where, like, once you grab your seat, you don't want to get up and go somewhere because someone wants that seat. We'll have a seat for everybody, but you get the idea, folks. And again, that's time to free.
It's air conditioned, right? Are you saying it's not air conditioned?
No, it is air conditioned. That's why it's it's so expensive. It's because we had to build this thing. We have to start cooling it, Roseanne, on Wednesday at 5 in the morning. We turn the air conditioning on, and it's going to take till like Thursday at whatever time to cool this building that we're building in the desert. And then everyone will be staying at the Trump International. And does that tell you how bad it is? I tried to rent parking lots on the strip that are empty, and they said it's a reputational risk. I tried to rent abandoned parking lots. Churches, everybody says, no, you can't do it. But every event we do, they're always sold out. I just encourage everybody, go to timetofreeamerica.com. And again, to keep this family friendly, you can name your price. So we want everyone to go. I know a lot of people, you're like my case, you have 5 kids, you want to go. You know, you can pay $25, you can pay $100, whatever you want to pay, and then we do have VIP tickets. Mel, I'm going to go to you, then I'll go to Roseanne for the final word there. We've covered a lot today. We've talked about Epstein. We hit on adrenochrome, how satanic is Hollywood. Is there anything in Hollywood that isn't satanic? We've talked about Mel Gibson. We've talked about Taylor Swift. We've hit on a lot of subjects. What's the final word you want to share there, Mel?
Well, I just want to share, I agree with Roseanne. We have to take a turn to where we mock these people and where we laugh at them and where, you know what, I see what they're doing with the Reawaken America tour. It is the most fun. I'm so excited Roseanne is joining. A lot of other new people are joining. We got Maria Z, we got Alex coming, we got all kinds of great new people. And I have to tell you, it is such a positive, spiritual, fun event where you laugh and you sing and you love your community and your country and all these things that they've turned upside down. So, you know, this is such an honor for me to be a part of, and Roseanne is going to be an amazing addition. I want to encourage everyone to come. I see the hit pieces and they are so opposite. Everything is opposite. All I ask everyone is be very aware of when your emotions are being triggered, because that's when they're lying to you. And you got to really, really be aware. And honestly, show up, speak up, stand in truth. We are winning. We are winning, and they are desperate, and they are freaking out. And the more we show up and we laugh and we enjoy ourselves and we mock them and say, get out of here, God wins, they fail. So just stop giving them power. And a big thing I want to say to people is we keep showing up, and it's fine to show up and protest their drag queen story hours or their CRT events or their whatever. Let's have our own events that we celebrate family and love and the great things about history and unity and not diversity, but what we have in common. Many more people will show up for that, I assure you, than they will ever show up for what they're doing. So we got to counter it with good stuff, in my opinion.
Well, you got the North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson's now joining the Reawaken America tour. Alex Jones is on the tour. Owen Troyer, the momentum continues to build. And what I'm finding is, Mel, you probably read the hit piece or saw it, but the Rolling Stone, they said, can we shadow you for a day? And I said, yeah, why don't you guys ride in the van with me to the event? My son will be in the car, my wife, my kids. So they're in the van with me. And they're going, so, you know, it looks like we're doing the math here. It looks like you're losing some money. Do you mind if we ask attendees what they paid for a ticket? I said, no problem. It's free country. Go for it. So they're asking people what they paid. They come back to me. They said, well, you're a poor businessman because you're not making money on these. Is that right? Oh, okay. So you bit. And so the article was framed around, I've bitten off more than I can chew. Oh. And if it was profitable, they would attack that too. But all I'm saying is I want to give people like Roseanne the platform and a chance to unapologetically share the truth. Roseanne, it's an honor to have you on this show.
Thank you. It's an honor. It's an honor for me to make people laugh too in this day and age, because I really believe that if you look at the attributes of our God, wisdom, beauty, mercy, intelligence, proper judgment through the heart, weighted judgment. Those are the things that we have to return to. And also, I believe that God is the greatest of all the comedians. I mean, God is the greatest comedian in the world. If you just have the eyes to look at how funny this all is, it's really hilarious, the level of brainwashing and stuff that they expect us to swallow. It's hilarious.
It's next level jackassery on display. Reset there. Roseanne, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have a blessed day. Now, you have a new podcast that you've been putting out here, and I'm going to pull it up here. I'm going to put a link to it on the show notes, but I'm going to pull it up so people can see this. And I've heard that this podcast is really gaining some traction here. Here's the podcast, I believe, the Roseanne Barr podcast. What can people expect to hear or to have discussed if they listen to the Roseanne Barr podcast?
They're going to hear all the stuff that they're not supposed to hear.
Okay.
Well, you just had on James O'Keefe. It was excellent. I loved your show because I love your son, Jake. It's so great. You guys are terrific together and hilarious.
Thank you.
But, Roseanne's not scared. You know what I love about your show, Roseanne? You don't just go for the main question. You want to know the why. And you push to the why because you had a talk show. You interviewed Trump and tons of people back in the 90s. People forget.
I know. I was the one that told Trump that he should run for president.
I know. In the 90s.
Yeah. I'm very excited to be in front of like-minded people because that's just such a great feeling to hear. That you can tell your truth and people will get it. You don't have to work so hard and you can go bigger.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, thank you guys so much for carving out time. Again, folks, check out the Roseanne Barr podcast. Get those tickets at time2freeamerica.com, time2freeamerica.com. Mel Kay, Roseanne, have a great day. It's an honor to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
See you
bye-bye.
Soon. Bye-bye. Hey, Patriot pals, so happy that you're looking into gold and silver and protecting your savings for whatever comes ahead. Beverly Hills Precious Metals is our good friend, and we've been working with them for a long time, so you'll be getting a call from them. We'll also follow up here at the Mel Kay Show because we want to make sure that you're taken care of and you're protected. If you have any questions, please let us know. Right now is the time. There's so much information coming. There's so much chaos. We just want all the patriots out there to be sure that they are protected, they are moving forward, and that we get through the storm together and safe. Whatever may come, just know we, the people of the United States, will prevail. God wins, and protect yourself. And please get in touch with us if you have any questions. So Beverly Hills Precious Metals, they're the best. They'll be in touch. We'll be in touch. You be in touch with us. Let's do this together.
Hello. Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce my original My Slippers are back in stock. You've made them a huge success, and now I've added smaller sizes, larger sizes, wide sizes, and all new colors. And with your promo code, you still save $90 a pair. Not only that, I'm having the biggest closeout sale ever on our sandals and slides for as low as $19.98. What makes my slippers different is my exclusive four-layer design that you're not going to find in any other slippers. My slippers' patented layers make them ultra-comfortable, extremely durable, and they help reduce stress on your feet. Wear them anytime, anywhere. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code to save $90 on my original My Slippers, or for as low as $19.98, you can get our sandals or slides. Quantities won't last long, and with my 60-day money-back guarantee, you can rest assured they'll be the most comfortable footwear you'll ever own.